Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about...
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about...
Not again.
No. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
As I was watching it, the best thing I could come up to describe it was as if somebody took a discarded Monty Python skit idea, gave it to the original Not Ready for Primetime players at Saturday Night Live, and said, go.
And had executive produced by The Airplane and Tales from the Police Squad.
Yes.
Or Files from the Police Squad,
yes.
People.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's a movie. Welcome for those of you who are
thousands
joining us.
Thousands of movies are made each year. This was one of
this
them.
This was one of them. Welcome for those of you who are new to this podcast. You want me to watch what? Justin and I have been friends for a decade and a half, and we've seen lots and lots of movies. And sometimes we've seen something that the other one just hasn't, and, well, needs must, and we rectify the situation.
Yep.
And so today, I had my good friend watching The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, a film that opens with a scroll saying, hey, you remember the birds? Everyone laughed at the idea of the birds, and then a bird attack happened, and now no one's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cautionary tale. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes is a cautionary tale, folks.
Yes.
Those things are coming after us. Because right after that, you have a woman who's just doing dishes or working at her sink, and a tomato comes out of the garbage disposal, and what starts out as puzzlement turns into terror as the thing backs her into a corner.
Yep.
And then she screams, and everything blurs out, and we get the theme song.
Because yes, there's a theme song.
There's a theme song. Turns out, she's dead. Police are there. They're investigating. But the red substance is not blood, but tomato juice. I'm not actually going to tell you about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because the plot-wise, it's so outrageously stupid. Right? It's a series of skits and scenes in which the ridiculousness of a bunch of tomatoes attacking is given some form, whether it is tomatoes attacking swimmers in a parody of Jaws,
mm-hmm.
or whether it is, you know, putting together the crack team of investigators led by Mason Dixon,
mm-hmm.
and Sam Smith, his disguise expert, a black man who is seen over the course as George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Adolf Hitler,
uh-huh.
and a tomato.
Yes.
A scuba diver and an Olympic swimmer and a parachute-toting soldier, a guy who parachutes in and then never takes the parachute off.
His primary weapon? A sword.
A sword. So, the movie goes out where there are, like I said, you've got all kinds of things where you've got, hey, we need you to infiltrate these, the tomatoes. This is talking to the Sam Smith, the disguise expert. I need you to disguise yourself as a tomato and infiltrate the tomato camp.
Gain their trust.
And it's working. Right up until they're eating hot dogs and he asks if anyone can pass the ketchup. And suddenly it's like everything goes bad again. The president of the United States sends one of his press agents to the ad agency Mindmakers in order to develop these kind of ploys in order to pretend that the disaster doesn't exist.
Yes.
It's then that Justin learned that this is not just a parody movie, but a parody movie musical.
Yep. I did not see that one coming.
No, that was part of the point, my friend.
Thank you.
We have a Senate subcommittee meeting that is supposed to be going over all of these things and investigating it, but they are one copy short, and so they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about at that point that Justin and I kind of looked at each other and went, this is starting to feel a little too real. I mean, yeah. this was satire in the 1970s, and now it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, you've got the entire team ends up getting killed, except for Mason Dixon and the parachute guy, Wilbur.
Mm-hmm.
Greta's killed when she isn't warned in time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after she's dead, Wilbur does come up. The parachute guy comes up and looks at her dead body, looks around, looks back at her dead body and says, there's tomato activity in your area. Salutes her and leaves.
Yep. I missed it. Did they ever show what happened to the scuba guy?
No, he just was kind of left in the desert.
Yep. In full scuba gear, they let him out.
In full scuba gear. And throughout the movie, and we're going to get, here's the spoilery parts of things, because, yeah, just watch it. The movie is one of those stupidly funny, and you feel bad for watching it, and you're not going to watch it more than twice in your life, so just go ahead and do it. There is this one song that is played in the background
throughout
the movie called Puberty Love, sung by the guy who is now the drummer for Pearl Jam.
Mm-hmm. He was originally the drummer for Soundgarden.
And then the drummer for Soundgarden again when they got back together.
Yeah.
Until they disbanded again.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it turns out Puberty Love has the ability to stop the tomatoes in their tracks. Basically, it makes them shrink back down to normal tomato size. And when the one giant tomato is unaffected because he's wearing earmuffs and can't hear the music, just showing him the sheet music of Puberty Love is enough to do it. And, oh my God, trying to explain this movie makes me realize how dumb it is. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care. I think it is hysterical in every way. And there's little, you know, blink and you miss them, or you look down at your phone for half a second and you're going to miss the joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the very beginning when the police investigators are that first death,
yeah,
you know, on both sides of the credits. If you're listening to the radio, you've got Adam 12.
Yeah, right? I chuckled at that because I know that show.
And immediately after was Houston, we've got a problem here. And immediately after that was something else, and I don't remember what that. But there were like three references,
like a drive-through. Would you like fries with that or something?
Like right in a row. That's just wow the way it is. There are scrolls in the movie itself that give advertisements for shops and stores. Like, come on down now downtown to the best furniture deals. You know, and an actual phone number.
Yep. Space for rent.
Yes. Space for rent. It is ridiculous. Absolutely. But I want to know what went through your mind as you're watching this ridiculous 87 minutes, give or take.
I sort of knew what I was getting into just by the title, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's like, okay. This is a movie that not only is not serious, does not take itself seriously. And I was correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There were several moments that made me just guffaw. One of them being when they've captured a rather large tomato, bigger than a basketball.
Right.
They've got it chained down and they're, you know, checking it and running experiments. And they say, it's worse than we thought. This is a cherry tomato. Immediately cut to Volkswagen Beetle-sized tomatoes rolling down the street.
Mm-hmm.
the subtle nod, not so subtle nod to Superman.
Oh, because yeah.
The reporter Lois Fairchild.
Mm-hmm. And she's coming up as like, oh, I need to talk to you about this. Lois?
Yeah, a guy dressed like Clark Kent with a cape sticking out the back of his, you know, Lois? And then you hear, you know, very fanfaric music and then the 50s Superman flying off.
Up, up, and away! And Mason Dixon and the guy just kind of staring up, you know, looking and following him through the air. Huh.
Huh. So, this is a movie that I didn't expect to 100% enjoy.
Right.
And I was correct in that.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I mean, it's dumb.
It's dumb. But in a good way. This is the kind of movie that I think I probably would have enjoyed more had I seen it in college.
Oh, this is a drinking movie.
Absolutely, it's a drinking movie.
It's not a pot movie.
No.
This is a drinking movie.
Yes. This is the kind of movie where you get some friends together, you want to have a low-key night, you get some drinks, whether it's beer, mixed drinks, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go too heavy, because then you're just going to get, you know, blacked out.
Mm-hmm.
But have a few drinks with some friends, and just laugh at the absurdity of what is on your screen.
Yes. So, there's a few things to discuss here. There's some problematic things,
yes,
as there always are.
As there always are.
And we'll bypass a couple of them. But I do want to talk about one that I think is still funny for you and I who've watched a lot of Japanese monster movies.
Yes.
Is that there is one Asian American character in it. The movie's made in like 1978.
Yeah.
You know? And he's the only one who's dubbed.
Yes.
In a very obvious and blatant,
yes,
dub. And I'm 99% sure it's done as a gag.
I think that everything in this movie is done as a gag. It is not intended to be problematic, but with the hindsight of time, it is.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. The second thing I want to talk about, and this isn't so much problematic, although it's weird, okay? So toward the beginning, there's that helicopter crash,
mm-hmm,
that just seems to come out of nowhere, and the guy's like, we were hit by a kamikaze tomato!
Yeah.
Tomatoes can't fly? Yeah, well, they can't eat people either, but they're doing one hell of a job at that. The helicopter crash was not supposed to happen in terms of the movie. The helicopter was supposed to land, but
yeah,
the pilot clipped the back rotor against the ground, and they just caught the wreck on film. And so they left it in and just reframed the wreck as caused by the tomatoes. The pilot was able to escape without injury. No one was hurt.
Okay.
I'm hoping that's why they did it.
I hope so, too.
Because a $60,000, you know, UH-12E helicopter just... It spun out of control, it rolled over, it burst into flames. And everyone was just continuing to act around it. So it's like somebody was just yelling out, like, don't worry, this is fine. He's a professional.
He knows what he's doing. This is all part of the plan.
Oh. Last thing is, two things, really. One, this is a movie that it's labeled as parody, and it is.
Yeah.
It's not satire.
No.
It should have been. It had such a remarkable setup to be a really great satire, because the whole thing is that the U.S. military is effectively, they're inadequate to the task of the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of the running gag, which, since it's basically parodying a whole bunch of different things, but the Japanese monster movie, you know, where the military is insufficient against Godzilla.
Yep.
You know, they could have set that up in a different kind of in a satire that would have worked. Instead, they just kind of parodied it.
Yeah.
Which does get a bit tiresome eventually, because it's 87 minutes I wouldn't want it to be any longer.
No, it could have been shorter.
And it could have been about 10 minutes shorter, and it would have tightened up a lot of the gags.
Yeah.
But it becomes kind of that one joke spoof, you know, as we go. So that's really kind of the big thing about this in my mind. But I'd also say that despite overwhelmingly bad reviews, I really like watching it about once every few years. Not more than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every few years was just like, I need something to snap my brain off and just watch something that's utterly, utterly ridiculous.
Like every leap year, you just...
Yeah. This is a great February 29th movie.
Yeah.
You know, we should really come up with that as a designation.
There you go.
You know,
I think we just did.
Yes. This is a leap day movie.
Yes.
So...
You've got an extra 24 hours on your hands. Here's what y'all should do.
Here's something to do with it. You know, you used to watch Lonesome Dove four times. Now, so at the end of the day, I do think people should watch it. I think that it is funny enough to be seen, even if it's not a frequent watch.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
absolutely, I agree.
All right. So, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Other than it spawned how many sequels?
Three.
And a cartoon series.
And a cartoon. It should be noted that the immediate sequel to this, The Return of the Killer Tomatoes, that picks up like 10 years later, cast George Clooney. Bat Nipples himself was in that one, in one of his first film roles.
All right.
So, if you need a reason... I guess. But other than that, yeah, I think it's funny. Justin thought it was funny enough for one watching, and probably another one sometime in like 3.5 years.
3.5 years, yeah.
So,
this time with alcohol.
Fair. I think that means it's your turn.
Yes, and I've got something.
I look forward to it.